This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. All right, in the first hour, we covered the Democrats' plan B, which is to make their voters panic.
Jim Eagle.
Yeah, over Jim Eagle, Jim Crow, Jim Eagle 2.0 on Jim Crow's wings. All of the above. It's all bad. It's doom. It's gloom. And we need you to help us stop it.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Before I move on to some lighter news, and this did make me giggle today, I wanted to read you a little bit of a piece by Dave Harsanyi. He wrote this for the North State Journal. I think it kind of summarizes what a lot of these voter ID bills want to do, or voting rights bills want to do, is what I should say. Now, Schumer proposes nationalizing elections by overturning the will of voters and compelling states to adopt chaotic voting regulations that he believes will favor Democrats in the long run. But no one has a right to vote without an ID. No one has a right to ballot harvest. And many Democrats' proposals, as in empowering the federal government to mandate gerrymandering and forcing taxpayers to finance congressional campaigns, have absolutely nothing to do with voting rights, nor do proposals meant to dismantle First Amendment protections. Obsessed with rolling back Citizens United, Democrats have proposed forcing organizations that engage in political discourse to disclose their donors, creating more bureaucratic impediments for those who engage in speech. On the voting front, House Democrats have passed a bill that would compel states to count mail-in votes that arrive after up to 10 days after the election, require states to allow ballot harvesting, coerce states to ban voter ID laws, induce states to allow felons to vote, and mandate 15 days of early voting, automatic voter registration, and online voter registration. That's just a little bit of what Nancy Pelosi thinks would bring happy tears to George Washington's eyes. All right.
That's what 617 said. They have tears of rage in their eyes.
Tears of rage. Where's Spartacus to talk about these tears of rage? Okay, I want to move on to some happier news here, Jared. And of course, we're a New England show and we're in Massachusetts. But I have a soft spot for the people in New York because every time I think it's bad here, I see the headlines coming out of New York. And
start spreading the news.
And just, wow.
I'm leaving today.
I'm going to be real with you guys. And Howie's probably listening. He's going to disagree with me. But your politicians make ours look like amateur hour. Your politicians are so bad on all fronts and are so obnoxious that it takes my breath away. Now, speaking of that, one of the most obnoxious politicians to ever come out of New York, and this is not me being political. You guys know I always try to be as nonpartisan as possible. This is pretty much agreed upon by everyone in the United States of America. Bill de Blasio is one of the most disliked politicians, at least in my generation. Whether he's eating Shake Shack fries on TV, or he is dropping the groundhog on Groundhog Day, or he's heading to the gym, or he's taking a nap, or he's slow dancing with his wife in the middle of an empty Times Square. The man has a real gift at getting people angry and making people roll their eyes at him. And he's not stopping anytime soon. I just want to start with that. Because when I tell you this news, you might get worried that we're not going to see him anymore.
Why switch away from a winning formula?
It really is a winning formula. So de Blasio made a video. And it looked like kind of like a campaign video. He was like walking down the street with his little vest on and, you know.
In his Brooklyn neighborhood.
So immediately everyone thinks, oh, no. Oh, God. No, please. This is his, you know, announcement that he's running for governor, which he's been teasing us with for a very long time. Instead, he told us something else. We'll play a couple of these, Jared, but I want to start with the lead here. Cut 9, please.
No, I am not going to be running for governor of New York State, but I am going to devote every fiber of my being to fight inequality in the state of New York. We've got a lot to do together. I'm going to share some more news with you in the days ahead. And let's keep this fight going because we've proved change can happen in New York. Good things ahead. Thank you, everybody.
So he says, no, I'm not running for governor. And actually, when he said that, we actually had a live studio audience available, and this was the response. Confetti, hot dogs. It was a celebration. Cheese puffs.
No, I am not going to be running for governor of New York State.
I mean, you can't. That's the best news I've heard all day. Have you heard anything better?
That's fantastic, especially if you're out there. But what evil lurks behind that man, though?
I know. And when he says he's going to devote every fiber of his being to inequality, I immediately am like, oh, boy. Can't we devote some of those fibers to just leaving people alone? Maybe you should devote some of those fibers to reading or just hanging out or, you know, going on those long walks you like to take in the middle of the day for hours at a time or going to the gym, which you love so much. By the way, he did acknowledge some of that. He acknowledged his COVID hypocrisy. Let's play cut 7.
Now, I made my fair share of mistakes. I was not good with groundhogs at all. Probably shouldn't have gone to the gym.
If you don't remember that, de Blasio was one of the first COVID hypocrites. And he was actually one of my favorites because unlike, let's say, Nancy Pelosi, who said I was set up, or Gavin Newsom, who apologized, de Blasio took a whole different take on it. And he basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, I need to be in good shape. I'm the governor of New York. I need to be fit. He was unapologetic. He is dedicated. He is as dedicated to his fitness as Joe Biden is to his PTO. There are some things a man in his treadmill or whatever Bill de Blasio uses. I don't know if he's a CrossFit guy, if he's a Peloton kind of guy. I don't know. But whatever he's using, he is determined. Consistency is key in his routine. Now, speaking of that, I'm going to do my own little segue here. Speaking of COVID hypocrisy, that was at the very beginning of this. He was one of the first. Now we're kind of getting towards the end of this. A lot of people are saying this is going to be an endemic. Fauci cannot comment yet. You don't want to get anybody's hopes up. But a lot of normal, rational people are saying, listen, if everybody's getting this thing and it's way less deadly than Delta, this is probably looking like the end. But in England, things are a bit different. And you know what I've decided, Jared? I know we saved the royal update for something about royals, but I just think we should play it whenever we're going across the pond.
Well, as more and more royal family members lose their rank and privilege, we got to improvise.
We have to improvise. So let's give ourselves a little flair here.
I wish a lot of luck to Harry, because he's going to need it.
The famously insane European monarchies of the 19th and 20th centuries.
Hello, cheeky. You is much fitter than you look in them coins.
All right, so Boris Johnson got in trouble because the prime minister was hosting parties for his staff, inviting multiple people. They have very strict lockdown rules in England because it didn't work the first time. So naturally, let's do it a third time. And he's sending out these emails. I believe they included instructions like BYOB. We had that whole conversation about how I feel about that. And he got caught. He got caught, and it was very Gavin Newsom-esque. I mean, guaranteed, he probably didn't get as good of a meal at the French Laundry as Gavin Newsom did. He just seemed to be like a backyard barbecue with some bangers and mash and some beers. But the sentiment, the point of it, was still there. He had put in these rules, and he was not obeying them, and people in England were ticked off. And here was his excuse. Cut 11.
Categorically that nobody told me, and nobody said that this was something that was against the rules, that was a breach of the COVID rules, or we were doing something that wasn't a work event, because frankly, I don't think, I can't imagine why on earth it would have gone ahead, or why it would have been allowed to go ahead.
You don't know your own rules that you're forcing everyone else to follow? He's trying to use like the George Costanza excuse when George has sex with the maid. Well, was I not supposed, is that looked down upon? Was I not supposed to do that? Yes, you know, you're not supposed to do that because you made everybody else follow these stupid rules. But they can't go outside with more than like one other person. And now you're acting, you have your dunce cap on, you're acting like you have no idea why people are mad. If I had known, if only I had known that people would be upset about this, I wouldn't have done it. And the reason I even bring this up, because it's kind of old news, but today, coincidentally, after some backlash, because we don't follow the science, okay? We don't follow the science, we don't follow the medicine, we don't follow the charts. We follow the backlash. We follow the polls. We follow the angry tweets. We follow everything but the science. So Boris Johnson is following Twitter, basically. And he understands. He's like, oh, crikey. It would appear that these people are not happy about this. I had no idea I wasn't supposed to gather. It was BYOB, after all. And so now he's understanding that people are not happy. So guess what he's going to do, Jared? Good news. This is just about as good news as Bill de Blasio not running for governor of New York.
Is he going to allow other people to have parties?
Better than that, he's looking to scrap all of the restrictions in March.
What?
Yep, he's looking to get rid of them. He's expected to, the vote set for January 26th is expected to see the end of the coronavirus passport requirements, yet mask rules for public places may remain for the time being. Yet the number 10, that's what it's called, is set to introduce plans to scrap all restrictions in England by March.
But Omicron. But my Omicron. What happened?
BYOR. Bring your own rules. Whatever the rules are. I can't believe that's his response, is I didn't understand that this was bad. Like, wait, what? Didn't you help figure these out? Are you being serious? I prefer, you know what? We should really do like a March Madness of our favorite COVID hypocrite excuses, because I prefer the people who are more defiant. Like my favorite was London Breed when she said, listen, it was Tony Tone. They got together. Or just, yeah. It feels good. Or even Joe Biden when he said it was a historic day. Or Nancy Pelosi when she said, damn it, I was set up. I like people who throw it right back at you, you know, who come back swinging and say, don't try to pin this on me. This was a setup, I tell you. But just to say, oh, I didn't know, I didn't read that. It's a little weak, even for Boris Johnson. It's a little weak.
Nobody told the prime minister what the rules were.
How was he supposed to know? He's only the prime minister. No one likes to feel out of the loop. Especially Boris Johnson. He feels very out of the loop right now. And he probably feels out of the loop when it comes to investment apps and cryptocurrency. But we have good news here. If you want to grow your wealth and you can't wrap your head around a lot of the current fads online, that's when you should turn to Goldco, the leading precious metals company in the U.S. and the five-time Inc. 500 winning company with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of positive reviews. You can trust the team at Goldco to help protect and grow your wealth. Go to goldco.com/grace to request your free Protecting Your Wealth kit that uncovers the secrets that your financial advisor won't tell you. And if you visit goldco.com/grace now, Goldco will give you up to 10% in free silver when you open a qualifying account. That's right, up to 10% in free silver. I'm already invested at Goldco with Goldco because I know what I'm getting. I know I'm in good hands. I'm invested in silver. If you want to protect and grow your wealth like I did, you can trust the experts at Goldco. They've helped thousands of Americans own gold and silver in their retirement savings to protect them against inflations and tax hikes. That's goldco.com/grace. We will be back. We will take your calls, 844-500-4242. And we have an update on masks and also fourth boosters. I'll give those to you after the break.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. There is so much to get to today, but let's start out with the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by GoldCo. You can trust the team at GoldCo to help protect and grow your wealth. Go to goldco.com/grace to request your free Protecting Your Wealth kit that uncovers the secrets your financial advisor won't tell you. That's goldco.com/grace. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Democrat has done the most to advance the voting rights bill? Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or Elizabeth Warren?
I'm going to change my mind, actually, and I'm going to go with the voters on this. Chuck Schumer, because he's at least bringing this all to a vote, even if it's a terrible idea and it's going to make him look like an ass, I support it.
Chuck Schumer in the lead at 48%. Second place to Joe Biden at 23%. Third place, Nancy Pelosi at 20%, and 5% each for Kamala and Elizabeth Warren.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. And this whole idea of abolishing the filibuster is it's horrible because they don't have Kristen Sinema on board. They don't have Joe Manchin on board. And the thing that Joe Biden has to learn is that he was not elected as some sort of mandate to transform the country. He was elected to unify people. And he's been failing at that every single day. Let's listen to a little bit of what John Kennedy had to say about this. Senator John Kennedy, this is cut 14, please, Jared.
The Biden administration's effort to get rid of the 60-vote threshold in the United States Senate is not about a Senate that doesn't work. It's about a woke agenda that doesn't sell. Getting rid of the 60-vote threshold in the Senate, in my judgment, would be like giving whiskey and car keys to a teenage boy.
And that wasn't his only analogy.
Put down the bomb.
He always has a few, you know, in his back pocket. He also, let's play cut 15.
The Biden administration has mismanaged COVID. It has mismanaged inflation. It has mismanaged the border. And it has mismanaged foreign policy all in one year. If the aliens landed tomorrow and said, take me to your leader, it would be embarrassing.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I really do. And I think it's interesting that right now the Democrats are really trying to sit down, huddle up, figure out what's going wrong. And they have a few different schools of thought that people are going with. We had Paul Begala on, was he on CNN or MSNBC, one of those fake news networks? This was CNN. And listen to what he said. He doesn't think it's a Joe Biden problem. Cut four.
Did President Biden put more effort into getting infrastructure passed, for example?
Well, he got infrastructure passed, and that's a good thing because success can breed success. He is putting the full force of the presidency behind it. I think the problem for the Democrats right now is not that they have bad leaders. They have bad followers.
It's your fault, Democrats. Now keep voting for us, damn it.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
Yeah, let's see. I don't think that's going to go over well because the Democrats are very unhappy with Joe Biden right now, especially the far left faction of the Democrat Party. But then there's the other mindset, and this is out of NBC. The title is White House Plots Public Reset as Biden's Agenda Flails. Now, this intrigued me, first of all, because if you're plotting a reset, you need a reset button, and that can only come from Hillary Clinton. But what they really get down to in the nitty-gritty of this article is that they want to shed the growing image that Biden is approaching the presidency like a member of the Senate, and they want him to start communicating more directly with the American people.
Just clap for that, you stupid bastard.
He's always great at that. So my question coming up in the next segment is, if Joe starts communicating with you, what are you going to ask him? My first question is about energy independence, but I'm sure you guys have a lot of great cues for the president. Call in 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, so this is breaking news. I was just informed by a texter, and honestly, Jared, I'm kind of putting this one on you as my producer. I was informed by a texter that I've been making a terrible mistake for months now. I have tears in my eyes just thinking about this. I feel like that statue of George Washington. I have been saying Tony, Tony, Tone this entire time.
I thought you had been saying Tony, Tony, Tony. And I noticed you said Tone this time, but I thought it was
just
a one-off.
I've always been saying Tone.
Really?
And I was not corrected by my fact checker, producer.
Damn it, Glenn Kessler.
Where is Glenn Kessler? Where is Daniel Dale? But a texter just said it. They're all actually pronounced Tony, Tony, Tony. They're just spelled differently, which I have to say, I love it. I love the creativity, and I'm really becoming big fans of theirs. And it's not just because of the historic performance they had in San Francisco. It's so much more than that. They've become a part of my music, my musical passion. And God bless Tony, Tony, Tony. Now, on to other things. We were mentioning before that Joe Biden's White House is plotting a reset for the president. I don't know if this is going to require a giant button, but he is looking to change how he communicates. He wants to appear more open. He wants to talk right to the American people. And I actually have jotted down a couple of ideas that I think would be helpful to get Joe.
It's all about round-the-clock sex.
Not that, not that. Nope, nope, nope. Ideas to get him back in the groove, you know, to make him feel like a regular guy again. To make him.
I want to pronounce the name correctly. I misspoke.
And sure, while he's hanging out with us, could we ask him some questions? Could we get to the bottom of some things? Of course, I have ideas for that too. But first, we need to set the stage, you know, because clearly the White House set isn't working. Clearly, the press conference he did last year and the one that's coming up on Wednesday, they don't tend to go really well for him. So he needs to figure out a way to directly talk to the Americans who really don't like him right now. And I have some ideas. 844-500-4242. First, let's go to the callers here. Richard, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Richard.
Oh, hi, Grace. I wanted to say that I think not being an advocate for Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton, I wonder if the Democrats aren't considering somehow or other getting rid of Kamala Harris and having Hillary Clinton take over as vice president and have her become the de facto president for the next 3 years and then run based on how that all works out.
Yeah, and you could definitely sense the tension when Craig Melvin asked Kamala Harris if she thinks she's going to be on the ticket in 2024, and there was a long silence, and she got very aggravated, and you know, you could cut it with a knife. But I don't know. I don't think any of that stuff is as easy as it seems. Like, I think Kamala Harris would put up a... Imagine if you're... Richard, now follow me on this. Imagine you're Kamala Harris, okay? You've got the whole world is your oyster. And then you become vice president. And suddenly the gig is up. Everyone knows that you really can't answer questions. You're not that good at your job. Your boss sabotages you at every corner. He gives you the worst jobs ever. He puts you in charge of the border, and then he unravels anything that Trump had placed at the border to prevent a massive surge. He puts you in charge of voter integrity or voting rights. And then also, you have no way of winning that battle unless the filibuster is abolished, which also cannot happen. So he sets you up with loss after loss. You make a fool of yourself on all of these interviews where you basically come up with a new word salad every single time.
I eat no for breakfast.
The last one she said was out of this world. She was like, you know, it is the time for us of the moment to be there. And when we do get there, we look at the time it is, and we say, it is, that is what the time is.
Oh, yeah.
As Howie always says, can we quote you on that? So now her reputation is pretty much ruined. She's a complete joke. And now he might say, hey, Kamala, it's not me, it's you, it's not you, it's me. My team doesn't really think it's working, so we're gonna... Would it be okay if we parted ways? I have another person who checks a lot of boxes waiting in the wings. Could you just make sure not to mention this to anyone? No. She's going to be a woman scorned if they do that to her. We've seen how sensitive she is. We've seen how much of a glass jaw she has. You don't think she'd turn around in 2 seconds and start ratting Joe Biden out? I think she would. Now, let's get back, though, to this idea from NBC. It says, when President Joe Biden rounding out his first year in office amid a sinking approval rating, I think it's 33% now, the White House is planning a new communication strategy. They've tried so many, so let's hope this one works.
Is it going to be complete sentences? Because that's a great start.
Well, we don't want to shoot too high. You know, we don't want to overwhelm him right from the beginning. The official said the White House will continue negotiations with Congress over Biden's legislative priorities, but that it would stop releasing details of the talks to the public. So first step of the reset is be less transparent with the American people. Check. Got it. Part of the goal is to shed the growing image that Biden is approaching the presidency like a member of the Senate, where he spent more than 3 decades. I would argue, I'm just chiming in here, NBC, and I don't want to interrupt this very official piece here, but I would argue that there's more of a problem that he's approaching the presidency like a senile old man who just wants to go on vacation and not be there.
Come on, man.
I don't think most people, when they're criticizing Joe Biden, go, you know what his issue is? It's not falling up the stairs. It's not pulling the dog's tail. It's not falling asleep at the global summit. It's not having food on his face. It's not yelling at the wind. It's the fact that he approaches the presidency too much like a senator.
He is too statesly.
He's too statesly. He needs to lose that. He needs to get a little more. He needs to get more of that crazy look in his eye. That's what's going to turn this around.
Be more loosey-goosey when you talk to the people, Joe.
Yeah, like go off script more. Be more yourself.
Take a jacket off.
I don't think any Democrat would agree with that.
Wear a polo.
Imagine people sitting around their kitchen table, and it's like, did you see that video of Joe Biden today where he couldn't find the door and he walked into the White House bushes? And then someone else at the table says, I know, he's approaching it too much like a senator. That's the issue.
Find me a fourth Hanson brother. We have a TikTok to make.
We do have a TikTok to make. He's made plenty of TikToks. Okay, here we go. He spent more than 3 decades in the Senate. He's mindful that he doesn't want to send the message that his role is to be legislator in chief. I think that message is being sent. I think a lot of messages are being sent.
When you say, if you're not going to help me, get out of my way, that kind of sends that message.
Biden's advisors are looking at a variety of ways for him to engage more with Americans. Like Jared pointed out, the TikToks clearly aren't getting the engagement that they would like.
One thing might be, I don't know, press conferences. Those help.
That's what I was wondering.
Public speaking at times.
I know, but I don't really consider AP Zeke or ABC Mary or Yamiche Alcindor. I don't really consider them to be like the regular people in America. He's really not talking to Americans when he's talking to them. But I have ideas, so just let me finish this. Having Biden talk more directly to the people, more directly with Americans, oftentimes in modern history, when a president has frustrations and drops in the polls, the president will say, it's now time for me to talk over the heads of the elites and talk directly to the people to convince them that what I'm trying to do is right. What some of Biden's aides have expressed concern about most is the impression that he's seemingly bogged down at the White House, giving too many one-dimensional speeches from Washington instead of showcasing what they see as his greatest political strength: empathy and an ability to connect with ordinary Americans. Who can forget that empathetic moment when he looked at George Stephanopoulos, who asked about the 5 people falling off the airplane at the tarmac in Kabul, and he said, that was like 5 days ago. That was the empathizer in chief that I know and love. But we need to come up with some real ideas for him if he wants to connect with the American people and convince us why all of these terrible policies are actually good for us. And I have some ideas. An ice cream social. You know, we could all grab a bowl of his favorite chocolate chip.
I want a double-dipped waffle cone with vanilla chocolate chip.
It reminds me of sometimes like in a movie, right? People will go out on a first date to this fancy restaurant in a romantic comedy and the chemistry's not there. But then they go get a slice of pizza, you know, and they feel more loosey-goosey. They feel more comfortable. They can start talking about the good old days. We need to put Joe in his comfort zone, which is near a bowl of ice cream. Number 2, we have to get rid of the fake White House set. I think that's throwing him off. First of all, it's probably very confusing. One minute you're in your house, and then the next minute you're in your house. It must give him vertigo or something, or deja vu, or something bad. So I say get rid of the White House set. Number three, maybe he could go on with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan has very long, interesting conversations. He doesn't interrupt people. He lets you go on and on. And we could really flesh out some of these Joe Biden ideas.
Oh, Joe Rogan! Joe Rogan!
And then lastly, if he really wants to connect with the American people, which he doesn't, he could reverse some of his horrible policies. And here's an example. Do you remember U.S. energy independence?
Sounds vaguely familiar.
This was
many an eon ago.
It was before times. It was back when you used to be able to pick any snack off a shelf at your grocery store. And this is by Stephen Moore. It's an opinion piece from Town Hall. But listen to this. It's pretty interesting. He says, Trump looked at me from behind his desk and shook his head. Okay, so this is interesting because it was during a meeting at the Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue where Stephen Moore and the president discussed oil, gas, and coal. He said, Trump, and I told him the United States could be energy independent in 4 years. Trump looked at me from behind his desk and shook his head. I don't want America to be energy independent. I want America to be energy dominant. Now, the reason I like that line is because that is a theme that you will see throughout the course of Joe Biden's presidency, that when the media is honest, they will report on. And a perfect example is his handling of these tests. Because the group that got together and kind of offered him this big testing plan before the holidays, their primary issue with him, which I believe was reported in Vanity Fair, was that his administration lacked the imagination that the Trump administration had during Operation Warp Speed. So Trump was never playing defense. He wasn't waiting for things to happen. He was constantly playing offense. And that's what made him see such success while running this country. There are a few issues where Trump and President Joe Biden have differed more broadly on policy than on energy production. Trump went full speed ahead on fossil fuel production. He lifted drilling restrictions, especially in states such as Alaska and on federal lands. He gave the green light to much needed pipelines. He blocked new extreme environmental regulations that were intended to choke off our oil and gas supplies. He recognized the shale oil and gas revolution as an unparalleled opportunity to release reliance on foreign oil. The Trump energy policy was an astonishing economic success story. By January 2021, exactly a year ago in Trump's last month in office, for the first time in nearly 50 years, the U.S. was producing more oil than we were consuming. We imported no net oil from Saudi Arabia and the OPEC cartel nations. We were also producing more oil and gas than the Russians and the Arabs. Free at last. Biden has come into office, and after 1 year, we have seen a 4% surplus of domestic oil and gas production fall to a 4% oil and gas deficiency. We have gone from energy independence back to energy dependence. This is because Biden has declared war on American energy. He has killed pipelines and reversed almost all of Trump's pro-drilling policies. Biden stopped drilling on hundreds of thousands of potentially prime oil fields in Alaska. He's obsessed with climate change, so he loves wind and solar power and electric cars that don't use gasoline. But even the most optimistic assumptions, we will be getting the majority of our electric power, heating oil, and transportation fuels from fossil fuels for at least the next 25 to 30 years. This is the part of it that will really kill you if you're like a dye-in-the-wool liberal who believes in all this climate change. The only question is whether we will get our fossil fuels to keep the lights on and the cars running from states such as Texas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Wyoming, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Ohio, or whether we will get it from the Arabs, the Russians, the Iranians, and the Mexicans. Since the U.S. has much stricter environmental standards than these other oil-producing nations, any move to lower U.S. production and import the fuels from abroad adds to greenhouse gas emissions. It's lousy economics, a danger to our national security, and it isn't even green. What is worst of all is now that oil production has fallen due to Biden's edicts, this president goes to the Saudis and the OPEC nations and begs them to increase their output. It is a black eye for America. It makes us look weak, and he has made us weaker. And he goes on to talk about Xi Jinping and Putin. These leaders of nations that are clearly enemies of the U.S. cannot believe their good luck that Biden is president. He has made Western and Northern Europe dependent on Putin for reliable energy. Meanwhile, in China, Xi pats Biden on the head and pledges that he will reduce the Chinese pollution levels while building scores of new coal plants that burn dirty, not clean coal. Does any of this make one iota of sense? Does any of this put America first? And by the way, the consumer price index numbers just came out for Biden's first year in office. Gasoline prices at the pump are up 52% in 12 months. Those are pretty incredible numbers. 844-500-4242. I think it's going to take a little bit more than a reset button to fix all this. I think we're going to have to elect someone else to fix all this. He could have left it all alone, and the media still would have said he was doing a great job, but he was insistent on changing everything. And now he's like, why aren't I connecting with the American people? Because the American people don't like any of this. All right, we'll be right back with your calls. If you've ever craved a great glass of red wine, sometimes memories of the after effects can haunt you. Many wines are chemically processed to extend their shelf life. It's time to skip the middlemen and taste hand-picked grapes that are fed naturally by snowmelt waters trickling down the Argentinian mountainside peaks, delivered directly to your home. That's the best part. I mean, when you get a delivery right to your door, you can't beat that. Bonner Private Wines partnership has exactly what you need. From my first sip, I had the Malbec last night, and I could taste the freshness drifting across my palate, and it complemented our juicy steak dinner. And here's an added bonus that anyone who loves wine will really appreciate. I slept like a baby after. No morning regrets, no headache. The Bonner Private Wines partnership is no ordinary wine club. They don't sell leftover bulk wine just to add a fancy label. Bonner searches the globe to ensure quality. Bonner seeks honest wines that don't need to hide behind excess filtration and additives, only to add an inflated price. Bonner wants every pop of the cork to be an adventure, to savor, and to enjoy. Join the Bonner Private Wines partnership and have it delivered directly to your home. Your adventure awaits at Bonner. Go to B-O-N-N-E-R, privatewines.com/grace for $50 off of your purchase. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch day.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Jane, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jane.
Hey, Grace. First, I wanted to thank you for speaking up for the kids yesterday and the college kids, most importantly.
Of course.
But second, I think that it's a real problem with the Republicans. The messaging that comes out of the Democrats is simple and sounds good, always. The Affordable Care Act and the voting rights bill, they all sound really good. And for Republicans to explain themselves, it's too many words, and somebody's got to figure out how to say it well and do it in short sound bites that sell.
Yeah, you're right. It's you're talking about messaging, Jane, and I think you're really hitting on something that a lot of Republicans have an issue with, which is we have tons of money right now. We should be out there making ads, and we should be just as convincing as Democrats. We need to get better with optics and messaging. Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Jane. All right, guys, you know what time it is. It's 2A Tuesdays. Get on the line now to ask Toby Leary all your questions. 844-500-4242. Let's get full lines for Toby Leary on 2A Tuesdays. We'll be right back.